All right, are we on? Amen. Okay, we got a thumbs up tonight, and I appreciate that. And appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter number 37 tonight, Ezekiel chapter 37. And don't you enjoy that good singing, how the Lord has helped us surely already. That ministered to my heart, and I thank God for that. And I appreciate how mindful the Lord is of our needs. I'm glad that He does care. I'm glad that He's able to help. Glad there's nothing too big for Him that He cannot help. There's nothing too small that He won't help. And there's nothing in the middle that we think just doesn't maybe matter. It does matter to Him, and I'm glad for that tonight. And I ask if you would stand for just a minute as we read and pray together in the Word of God. Appreciate the pastor allowing us the privilege to come over here, and appreciate my mother riding over. Of course, you know my vehicle sitting out here. We had to do a little swapping and driving and doing all that stuff. So you pray for us. We head back home tonight. Got VBS this week. Back home at Pleasant Valley, Brother Dotson has been doing an excellent job preaching every night. And so you pray for us over there. And I found out that Miss Caroline used to go to church here. She married my friend Brother Dalton. And so that means that y'all are in-laws with Brother Dalton now. And so I know who to pray for, and I know who the faces are, and Lord help every one of you. And Lord willing, I'm supposed to be preaching revival for Brother Dalton down in September, Lord willing, down there, and be spending a few days with them trying to preach to them, help them. And I got to think about it. Well, if the Lord comes back between now and then, I guess Brother Dalton could just go ahead and preach it then. And I'm just kidding. He's not here to defend himself, but he likes to do stuff like that. So I hope he watches this later and gets a good kick out of that. Ezekiel 37 tonight. Thank you for being here tonight. Verse number 1. The Bible said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Now as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking of the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Let's ask God's help again tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you one more time for your goodness and your mercy and your amazing grace. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can use the grand avenue of prayer, that I can come and approach to the throne of grace anytime, day or night. Thank you, God, for being so kind to us in that regard, letting us walk into your presence in such a manner. Father, for the sinner tonight, I pray that you'd save them, change them, for it's everlasting too late. And God, for your children tonight, that you'd speak to us and help us again to stand up and carry on for the great glory of God. We love you and we need you now. In Jesus' precious name, we ask with much thanksgiving. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing as we've read and prayed together. Again, Ezekiel 37, you know where we are in context, and this is one of the more preached out of texts throughout the book of Ezekiel, but I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know, and so I pray that you'll help and hang with us just a minute. But I've learned the Lord's had us in evangelism now about 3.5 years full time, and I've learned this, that it's not my job to blow your mind necessarily, but it's my job to remind your heart of truths that you probably already know, but maybe the Lord will take it and make it fresh in our hearts tonight. And don't get nervous. I am about a 30-minute preacher. I'm like the pizza delivery guy. I will get it to you in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. And I'm just kidding. I'm in evangelism. Ain't nothing free. So I'm just playing. I appreciate the goodness of God tonight. Ezekiel 37, you know the context of where we are is this great valley of dry bones. It is the famous text. And of course, you know the prophetical implications, how that God, even though he had broken and even though he had scattered and even though the enemy had come in and broken down, that God was going to reestablish the nation of Israel, how God was going to work in a mighty way. But I love the question that God asked Ezekiel when he carries him around this valley. He lets him see everything that is going on. He lets him get a glimpse of how bad it is, how dry it is, how awful it is, how empty it is, how desolate it is, and how hopeless that it is. And then God looks at Ezekiel and says, "Hey, preacher, what's your opinion on the situation? Can these bones live?" And guess what? Ezekiel looks around like he should have and says, "Oh, Lord God, thou knowest." He didn't say yea or nay, but he did say this. He knew enough about God to know that nothing is too hard for the Lord and that nothing is impossible with God. I don't know, friend, why the Lord's brought me this way, but I do know this is to remind you one more time, there's still nothing too hard for God. Though it's empty, though it's desolate, though it's bad, and though it's broken, and though it's hopeless, there's still a God in heaven that's bigger than a valley of dry bones. He's bigger than whatever you're dealing with, and he's able to raise up again something greater than they've ever seen before. Aren't you glad for that? I felt something right there. I may go back and hit that again in a minute. Hey, friend, God asked the question. I'm going to ask you something. You look around and be real honest with yourself tonight. You look around at the state of the church world in our own nation. You look around at the shape of our nation. Lord, help, it's another election year. God, help us. We need the Lord bad. And by the way, November's not going to fix anything. If anything's going to change, if anything's going to help, it'll be God's people getting back to his feet and begging him for a little more mercy and some more grace to carry on. Hey, we look at the shape of our nation. We look at the shape of our church. We look at the shape of our families and our own personal lives. I don't know about you, but there's times where I find myself like this valley of dry bones and broken and desolate and empty. But oh friend, God is no man. Hey, remember this. It's not God's will for that valley of dry bones to stay the way it is. By the way, it's not God's will for a sinner to stay lost. It's not God's will for a prodigal to stay in the far country. It's not God's will for a Christian to stay defeated all the time. But let me tell you, honey, hey, God's still the God that's able to pick them up and put them back on their feet again. And so for just a little while tonight, I'll give you this thought on this question that God asked Ezekiel on, can these bones live? Now I'm going to ask you tonight, can these bones live? You say, well, this isn't the same as it used to be. This isn't the same as it. They aren't the same as they used to be. And this situation or this family or this church or this problem, it's not the same as it used to be. But can I tell you something before I get into my thought tonight? There's an unchanging God looking down on an ever-changing world. And the one that never changes is able to help our infirmities. And he can help and he can do. Number one, follow along. I told you I'd be quick. There is the deliverance to reality. Guess what we need in our day?
We desperately need a deliverance to reality. We need to be brought in contact, face to face with the facts of the Word of God, and face to face with this valley of has-beens. Now think about it just a moment. I know it's the vision of Ezekiel. I know all this stuff, but hang with me just a minute. It is a valley of used-to-bes. It is a place of used-to-be victors. It's a place that soldiers used to stand and used to fight and used to be strong for God. You know when he used to be. I'll be real honest, in our day and time, especially seems like in the ministry, there's a lot of used-to-be's and there's a lot of has-beens, and I pray God never let me be one of them. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's a lot of God's people, and they used to be strong for God, and they used to pray and walk with God, and they used to love their Bible, and they used to be real, and they used to witness, and they used to march on. Hey, but now these soldiers are fallen. Oh, friend, I don't know about you, but everywhere I go, I travel, you know, and from time to time, I go in churches. I go in a lot of the same churches, seems like through the year, I come across them, and I have to ask the pastor, or I have to ask somebody, hey, where's so-and-so, and where's this family, or where's this preacher, or where's this one, or where's that one at? And they say, they hang their head, they drop their head every time. And they say, oh, Brother Austin, They kicked out. They gone some liberal joint down the road. They gone this way. They gone that way. They gone another route. They've completely, something happened. They completely kicked out. Hey, friend, I am sick and tired of the valley of has-beens. By the way, you're the only one that's got the responsibility to keep you from being a has-been and a used-to-be. He brought him to a place of reality. He brought him to a place of the valley. He brought him to a place of the vision of the here and now. The Bible said that he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. You say, what happened? Well, some kind of onslaught has taken place. Not only, and the soldiers have died. Not only that, but the time and the sun and vultures, or whether somebody's, I don't know, or animals have come in and picked the bones clean, and the bones are scattered in this place. It looks like there is a place of no help and no hope. But I'm reminded of this, until you and I as God's people get a vision of reality. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I know people, a lot of times they take that verse out of context, all this stuff to try to apply. But listen to me, friend. Until we come face to face with reality of the valley of dry bones, then there will be no hell. There can be no getting up and going on until we see what God has put before us. Hey, friend. Hey, where there is no vision, there'll be no reviving of the people of God. It's a valley of has-beens. It's the vision of the here and now. There it is. There's the voice of the Holy One. Verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now here's what amazes me about this text. Is it's God asking the question to Ezekiel. God, do you know this? God is concerned with the valley of the has-beens. God is concerned with the valley of broken things. Oh, friend, just like back then in Ezekiel's day, it's the same in 2024 as God looks on the valleys all around us full of broken, messed up things. He still looks on, and God is concerned. Oh, friend, I wish I had time. Hang with me just a second. Oh, you remember in Nehemiah's day, and Nehemiah's over there being the king's cupbearer, and friend, all of a sudden he gets word about how bad things are back home and the walls are broken. Hey, God took a broken city and broke his heart with it, and God put him to the king and got what he needed and got him back home, and God built up that city with one man and a team behind him. Hey, God cares about broken things. You remember Jeremiah? He said, go down to the potter's house. In chapter 18, he went down to the potter's house. There he's bringing up a work on the wheels. And the Bible said that the vessel that he had in his hand was marred in the hands of the potter. But guess what happened? He didn't take it and pitch it out the window. No, he smushed it down and he started building it back up again, put some more water on it. And oh, by the way, one man said this. He said, the potter never touches the clay without water on his hands. Hey, friend, that word right there. And the grace of God cares. That's what I'm saying. God cares about broken things. Oh, he cares about broken people. And there's the voice of the Holy One. He cares. And I'm going to ask us this. It's just us this evening. Do we care like God cares? We come in contact with the broken all day long. Everywhere I go, there's broken people. Everywhere you go, on your job, at your schools, in your life that you live, down here at the grocery stores, up and down here in Newport, you're going to come in contact with broken people. You might even have some broken things in your family. Have some broken situation. I don't know, but I know God cares. Do we care? Oh, friend, God cares about broken marriages. God cares about broken hearts. God cares. It's the voice of the Holy One. There is the volition to help. I believe Ezekiel did care enough to want to do something. But I know this about Ezekiel. He realizes he is just a man. And he knows all throughout the book of Ezekiel, he's referred to as son of man and prophesied son of man. Hey, friend, he knows he cannot do it on his own. We must realize there's a brokenness, but we must realize we cannot accomplish anything. By the way, God is going to use human instrumentality, but we'll see how in just a minute. Hey, he had something in him. God said, I want to help him. And Ezekiel said, I do too. There's the deliverance to reality. Number two, there is the direction to reclaim. I love this. How God does it. Verse 4, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. You say, what was the first thing? There is a command to hear. Hear the word of the Lord. You say, what is that? Now, in my mind, I'll be honest, I'm a little spastic sometimes, and so I'm hearing that little kid's song in the back of my mind about this text right here. So hang with me just a minute as I get this straightened out. But you know what that phrase, to hear the word of the Lord means? It doesn't mean just to hear with the ear. It means to understand and obey. And I know he's talking to a big valley of dry bones. Now, listen to me. You got to think about it just a minute. As situations and people and God still has a responsibility for those that are broken. God's not just going to wave his hand over it and boom, there it is. There is a responsibility still to understand and obey what thus saith the Lord. He sent his preacher there and he caused him. He said, prophesy. You know what that is, don't you? That's preaching. There's a command to hear. There's a cause for hope. God gives a promise. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, look at this, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. By the way, this is a cause for hope. This is the hope of the people that are broken. This is the cause of hope in you and I. It's that God not only cares, but he's commanded. And he sent out him. You know what's going to get the job done, don't you? It's going to be this word right here. It's always been the word. It's always going to be the word. Hey, it'll be God's word that'll get the job done. He said, ye shall live. He lays out several promises within just a couple of verses. It reminds me of the other promises that God has given to broken people throughout the pages of Scripture. Oh, friend, if we'll seek him with all our heart, he'll be found of us. If we'll turn to him and call upon him while he is near, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I, Oh, it reminds us of the great promises of God. Friend, it reminds us of Revelation chapter number 2. As he reminds Ephesus that they had left their first love, but he begins to give them, every time God ever deals with brokenness and he uses his word, he always gives a promise, if you will, then he will. There's a command to hear. Friend, we still have that responsibility in our day if we're going to see any kind of change in our day. Friend, there's a cause for hope. But here it is. There's a call to hold together. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He read back, priest. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now looky there, that's great, but that's not the end of the story. And that's not the be-all, end-all. Now a lot of people I know, they would be satisfied. They would put a period right there and go to chapter 38 and scoot right on by. But guess what? That's not the best that God has. A lot of times we are settling for good when God has best out in front. And here it is, friend. Now listen to me. They had unity. God put the bones back together. God brought flesh on them, and God brought the sinews, and God brought the muscles, and God put them back together. And they looked good, but they had no breath. By the way, unity is one of the foundations for God to do great things, especially in the local church. Remember what Paul told them in Ephesians? He said, endeavoring to keep the spirit, unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. It is our responsibility for unity. It's a picture without muscles, without unity, without the rest of it. They could not work, they could not worship, and they could not war. But friend, there is a condition of helplessness. He looked and he said, there was no breath in them. What I'm seeing a lot in our day is that we have settled for the form of godliness, but we are still denying the power thereof. I grew up under Bible preaching just like y'all did, friend. And I'm here to remind you of this, that without the power of the Spirit of God, there will be, hey, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Hey, there must be the breath of God in an organism, not just an organization. Oh, friend, in our day we have, and I thought about this while I was studying this, organization without inspiration is deadly. Without His divine breath in us, on us, and through us, we are simply lifeless and helpless. Oh, friend, we might be together, and that's good. That's a starting point, but it's not the end of the line. But guess what, friend? God still cares, and God's getting ready. Don't you love the processes of God? He took and he put the thing back together, and we know what he's getting ready to do, and I'll be done here in just a minute. But friend, hey, God's got to do the process, and he's putting it back together, but one day he's going to put breath back in that thing. Don't you quit till he puts breath in it again. There's the deliverance to reality, the direction to reclaim, friend. Oh, but there are the dead ones revived. Verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. There's the preaching of the word. One more time, Ezekiel stands up and he steps back and he lets the word of God fly, and the word of God under the inspiration of God does exactly what he said it would do. Let me just remind you that God's word cannot, will not ever, no never, will not return void. It'll always do what he sent it to do. It'll always bring bring life, where he says it'll bring life. You may not see it all. I may not see it all, but he sees. Hey, the work of the Word of God, like the seed that's planted in the ground, and after many days, God brings it to life again. Hey, that Word, it will not, it cannot. You know why? Because in Revelation 19 and in John chapter number 1, the Bible said, in the beginning was, capital W, the Word. And the Word, oh yeah. And then guess what? In Revelation 19, there he is. He's on the white horse out front of everybody else. And his name is called the Word of God. You know why I know this Word won't fail? Because it's as sure as he is. He cannot fail, therefore his Word cannot fail. There's the preaching of the Word. There's the power of the wind. Come, O breath, and breathe upon these slain. That's my prayer tonight for those that are broken, for those that have fallen, for those that are used to be's and has-beens, that the precious power of the Holy Spirit of God would once again blow in our midst. It's my prayer for every church in our land that God's breath one more time might blow. Oh, friend, we're getting ready to leave out of here, honey. Jesus is coming. And I don't want to leave out dead and dry and distracted. Oh, but I want to, oh man. But right here before he comes again, I want to see the wind blow. I want to see him put breath and life and hell back in us. There's the preaching of the Word. There's the power of the wind. There's the picking up of the wounded ones. Look at that. Oh, yeah. So I prophesied as he commanded me. He's obedient. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet. You know what Paul said in Ephesians 6? He said, in these last days, he said, put on the armor of God. He said, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with, he goes on through all the armor of God. But here, I love this. God took those that were wounded, that were broken, that were failures, that had messed up, that had come to a place of absolute ruin and absolute wreck. And he put them back together. And he picked them. And God didn't reach his hand down and do it. He sent a preacher with a word. And he sent the precious Holy Spirit. You know what that lets me know? And I know that's back then, but guess what? You know what God's going to do when you're broken and when you need help? He's not going to just reach his big old hand out of heaven, but he's going to reach that big old word down in your heart, and he's going to pick you up and put his breath back in you and set you on your feet and send you on your way. Stand up again. I'm reminded of the old hymn writer that penned down those words. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Oh, friend, there is the participation. By the way, it wasn't just that he prophesied. Do you know what the responsibility of every believer is? It's to take God's word to the world. It's to take his darling son to the world. Whether you're witnessing, whether you're helping somebody, I don't care if you're visiting a hospital or whatever you're doing. Hey, take the word, and the word will make the difference. The participation in the warfare. The Bible said that last phrase of verse 10, an exceeding great army. Now, when Ezekiel and God look down at that valley, they don't see a bunch of bones laying around, a bunch of emptiness and a bunch of broken mess. No, what they see is something big, something powerful, and something great. You know what I want the Lord to see when he looks on the church of our day? When he looks down here in Newport, you know what I want him to see? I want him to see an exceeding great army. I want him to see the church alive. I want him to see marching on for God and accomplishing some things. My question to you, like God's question to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Before Ezekiel could rear back and preach to these bones and see God's promises fulfilled in them, he had to believe that God could do it. Oh yeah. And before we see God do anything in our day, we're going to have to believe him again. One of the greatest faults of my own life, and one of the greatest faults, I believe, of the church of our day, is that we simply don't believe Him like we should. We trusted Him for our salvation, and oh, what a great thing. But friend, now we're going to have to trust Him for that valley of bones. There's broken things everywhere. There's messes all around. But we're going to have to believe Him. He can do it. And we're going to have to trust that He will and that He can. I want us to stand across the building tonight. Sis, if you can come to the piano for me right before I finish.